You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Right now, you're listening to the Civic Media Network. This is Civic Media Mornings. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan. Are we cold starting now? There's no theme music
today?
What
happened to our music? We didn't hear our music.
There's no music.
We didn't hear it.
Seriously? I don't start unless there's music.
There was music in my head.
Great.
Well, singing songs
your
to
head
myself,
is a
maybe.
Scary
that's
spot.
A,
all right. No, we didn't have any music.
This is an inauspicious start to the big show. It's Friday. Thankfully, we are here. We have made it to a Friday. Happy Deep Gras for those who celebrate. Maybe we'll explain that later. If not, look it up. You're fine. We got a lot to cover today. We're going to be playing Fact or Fiction with Ron Johnson's Telephone Town Hall. We're going to be checking in with a grassroots organization in Minnesota because, you know, it's all solved. Everything's good.
It's perfect. All the ICE troops. Well, sort of. That's how they went in there. But all the ICE agents are apparently pulling out, according to the border czar.
The timing, a little curious. So we'll get into that. We've got a robot that may be recording your children. And there's a lot to get to. So why not start? And we are going to start, of course,
America 2026.
It's been 2 weeks, Jamie.
It has.
It's been 2 weeks. We were promised that within 2 weeks, the funding question over the DHS part of the funding bill for next year would be settled. Mm-hmm. That, of course, surprise, ladies and gentlemen, not been settled. Another surprise, Mike Johnson told everybody to just go home. Does this sound familiar?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's a beautiful playbook. Now the Democrats will be played because we are set toward another partial, small, some would say insignificant, government shutdown because there's been no deal reached on funding for DHS, and the House has all gone home. Not for 9 months like the Wisconsin legislature.
Well, they still have a couple more days. They're fine here in Wisconsin. They've still got some work to do.
Oh, yeah, they're fine here in Wisconsin. But again, tonight is the night. No more. The two-week timetable, the imaginary and always referenced two-week timetable has come and gone.
So this particular standoff is centering on immigration enforcement, if you haven't been following along, because I know there's been a lot of headlines to follow along with. But Democrats are demanding new limits on ICE operations following last month's fatal shootings by the agents in Minnesota. And what they want is independent oversight, an end to so-called roving patrols, and a requirement that immigration warrants be signed by a judge. Now, of course, the GOP, and let's be honest, what they're asking is not out of line. These things
This is not crazy demands.
No,
you know.
Absolutely. So Republicans, though, as you can imagine, are strongly opposing those changes, and they argue that it would cripple immigration enforcement. Leaders say that the White House has already made concessions and are now accusing the Democrats of pushing the department towards the shutdown because it's always the Democrats' fault every time.
Of course. Yeah. How about you stay and debate this till it's done? Well, that would be one thing. But come on, what is the holdup for Republicans about judicial warrants? Could it be that if you have to have a judge sign it, you actually need proof? You need proof to say that this person is who we say they are. They have done what we say they did. Here is the evidence that backs it up. And I think most rational people don't see a problem with that.
Right.
Because that happens in any other criminal proceeding, you need a judicial warrant. The police can't come into your house just because they think you sound different or they have some suspicion. Well, if you have suspicion, you have to explain to the judge why. What's your probable cause? And then the judge will grant you a warrant. That's how it is for everything else. Why should grabbing people off the streets or bursting into their homes or businesses be any different? What are you afraid of? What are you trying to hide? people can draw their own conclusions, but it doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense. And what I think is really interesting about this is the Republicans right now, as far as public perception goes, they're losing this issue. Right. Immigration was a huge factor yeah. in Trump's 2024 reelection campaign. And it's usually been the Republican Party who's been really strong on this issue. It was most of the reason why so many Americans decided to vote for this current administration in 2024. If you look at recent polling, though, and I know you can only put so much stock into that, but even here in Wisconsin, that advantage for the Republicans has been shrinking. And a new survey yes. actually finds that while Trump and most Republicans still back that tough immigration action, independent voters, which is key to both voting blocks, right? Mm-hmm. They are increasingly uneasy, and they believe that this approach is just far gone, too far gone
well,
for them.
Once you murder two innocent people,
right.
That kind of
changes public perception.
Yes, it should. It should, anyway. It should change the tide, yeah. but we don't know. But it's like this one, they're going to try to blow into big proportions. But Jamie, you and I both know
yeah.
that this partial shutdown is really not going to affect
no.
day-to-day folks
no.
too much.
No.
If at all.
And let's be clear, the talks are still ongoing, but Congress has now recessed for 2 weeks. Because again,
2 weeks.
2 weeks. It's two weeks every
two
single
weeks.
Time. 2 weeks. So
two
this
weeks.
Path forward is really uncertain. And obviously, there's no agreement right now. And so midnight tonight, as you alluded to, will be the deadline. But you're right. The question now becomes, what happens to DHS without funding? If you were all excited thinking, ooh, we pull the ICE agents from the streets, Kristi Noem goes back to the dark depths of her closet, which, let's be real, she's already there because of the Alex Pretty. You haven't seen her trotted out in front of cameras for a few weeks now. That's not going to happen. None of that's right. going to happen. Because even if the shutdown happens and there is nothing that comes about by midnight tonight, mostly Homeland Security employees would continue to work because their roles are considered essential to public safety and national security. Okay. Many wouldn't be paid until funding is restored. Now, more than 90% of DHS's 272,000 employees actually stay on the job, and more than 93% of Immigration and Customs Enforcement and Customs and Border Protection workers would also keep working. Now, here's where it gets interesting. Remember, we talked about the big, beautiful bill. It was passed last summer. ICE in particular has that extra cushion. Do not yeah. forget that. Last summer, they
Don't
passed...
Don't cry for ICE, folks.
No. They passed an extra $75 billion budget for ICE last summer as part of the big, beautiful bill. And so resources from that are what they will use to ride out any lapse in funding. Resources from $75 billion is what they'll use to ride out a lapse
we'll
in
have,
funding.
We'll try to find some scraps. What do you think of all this? If you want to get involved, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. John is in Oshkosh. He wants to jump in. Hey, John.
I think Cindy's on
we
the phone.
We have Cindy on the line.
Cindy on the phone.
Cindy on the line.
John,
I
John
see.
Email or texted in. Cindy, what do you have to add this morning?
Well, I'm kind of disappointed to hear that they're going to be able to run if they shut down, because I've been calling their offices every day telling them to shut this down, defund this stupidity. And I'm so disappointed about, you know, these Republicans are the party that talks about having all these freedoms, having freedom, freedom this, freedom that, liberty this, liberty that. But who do they mean that for, us, the people, or for the government to have the freedom to do whatever it wants to do?
That's a good point.
Well,
thank you so much for
question.
The call. Thank you, Cindy.
And I think it is the latter, Cindy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mixed up the calls and the
That's
and the
okay.
Text.
That's okay.
That's
John,
all right.
John also texted in saying it's all based on racism. So
right. There was no music. It's throwing me off from the jump. I'm going to be off all day.
I have fixed
Jamie,
it.
Jamie, just
I
so
have
you
fixed
know.
It, though.
Okay,
and
good.
We'll see.
We'll see.
We'll see.
We will see. We will see. This is true.
Thank you, Parker.
And Mark from Prairie du Sac, Texas, sounds like Republicans really don't like the Constitution at all anymore. There's a lot more of the text, but yes, that does seem to be the case, Mark. That is an insightful comment, because they don't really seem to
no.
care. From tariffs to everything else, the Constitution is just some old antique that they are going to change, just like they remove other
right.
things from national parks and exhibits that they don't like.
You know, and it's interesting with this, with the Republican Party, because they always have been the party of American value, and they've always been the one to talk about following the laws and the Constitution, you know, and the Democrats were just this party of debauchery and non-rule following, and they don't care about the Constitution. When did those two roles flip? It's mind-boggling to think about where we've come. If you've paid attention to politics at any length, right, over the course of your lifetime, you knew that those roles were very, very distinct. And all of a sudden, at some point, they shifted, they flipped, and now it's kind of like we watch Republicans take the Constitution and be like, well, let's just throw this away. The hell with it. We're gonna just do whatever we want. With no consequence.
And I would say it's probably, you know, it's easy to say it's not every Republican, because the citizenry, Republican citizenry doesn't, I don't think the majority thinks that way. Unfortunately, they are not the ones in Congress.
Right. It's our leaders letting us down.
Our leaders have bought into this authoritarian mindset.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to hear when we play fact or fiction later with Ron Johnson, you're going to hear, and it's not just Ron Johnson. We saw it with Pam Bondi. They speak with impunity, like they cannot be touched. How dare you question anything we do? And that is the mindset coming from the very top of the party all the way down to the elected officials, who believe they can do whatever they want. They're not looking forward to, and I'm not, you know, you see all the memes and texts and things on social media about Nuremberg trials. I don't think we're ever going to get there, but there will be a reckoning at some point where your party's not going to be in power, and you're going to have to answer in future elections for what you've done during this time. And if you did not represent your constituency and only kowtowed to the king, then that is where the reckoning is going to come. People will be able to vote you out, hopefully. And because who knows? I was told we're not going to need elections anymore, Jamie.
Well, we don't love the Constitution, as we were just discussing.
Yeah, why would we?
So who knows? Scott from Madison, listening on WMDX, chiming in this morning on the text line as well. He says the Democrats should challenge the Republicans to their stance and offer an amendment that we will fine any business owner $100,000 per undocumented employee.
Then we'd have to go into Texas and a lot of other red states.
Yeah.
And that's not please. Now, Scott, that may make sense to us, but please.
So just in case anybody's wondering, because DHS isn't just all about ICE, right? It's not all about Border Patrol. Core operations like law enforcement, the border inspections, disaster response, Secret Service protection, and Coast Guard missions would continue if we get into this shutdown. The FAA, including air traffic control, also funded separately, so flights wouldn't be directly affected.
Yeah.
You might have a longer line or two if you're going to travel going through TSA. I mean, what's a few extra minutes in TSA? They're always long lines. But all of those things will also continue. FEMA's disaster relief fund appears to be well-funded for now. I mean, they're not giving out the grants anyway. So yes, I'm sure there's a bunch of money sitting there.
Yeah,
just ask Tony Evers how that's working out for Wisconsin. But IRS, in case you're wondering, with taxes, national parks also remain open.
Yeah, you're still going to have to pay your taxes.
Of course.
We're going to talk more about ICE and specifically their role in Minnesota. After 7:30, we're going to talk to a Minneapolis grassroots organization about the pullback, what it means for that community. So that's coming up.
It's 6:19 right now. You're listening to Civic Media Mornings on the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Hey, we have the music back. Thanks so much.
I try so hard. I see, the problem was I wasn't running fast enough in the wheel that keeps the power going.
I understand. That was it.
Let's get moving.
It's 6:22 right now. You are listening to Civic Media Mornings on the Civic Media Network. I'm going to give a little shout out to Daniel over on our listening on YouTube. He says, hey, everybody, happy Friday. Happy Friday to you as well. My name
Daniel,
is
how are you,
my name is Jamie Martinson.
and I'm Brian Noonan. And I was just reading that again. I'm double checking. I had to look at my notes. Yes, I am in fact Brian Noonan.
You are.
I am for now. We'll see. listen, we talk about data centers all the time. Why not? Because they're popping up everywhere. It seems like any town that has any extra land is getting talked about for data centers. We talked about the backroom deals that some towns have entered into, non-disclosure agreements with data companies. And now Wisconsin lawmakers on the Democratic side mm-hmm. of the aisle are proposing a moratorium. Let's just pump the brakes a little bit on these data centers. There's a lot of local opposition. The people are not happy. So maybe we just let's slow our roll when it comes to data centers, which caution is always a good thing.
Right. No, it, you know, and here's the thing. I support progress. I support innovation. I support, good paying jobs. But at the same time, the data center companies aren't always being upfront. There's a lot of communities that have already pushed back, like DeForest, Caledonia, and Yorkville. They wanted these centers stopped because of the rising utility bills associated with them. Yes. and the effects of the land around them. So this proposed moratorium would actually block construction until a state planning authority is in place and clear rules are established. The legislation would require full reporting of energy and water usage, data center specific pollution rules, 100% renewable energy, fair wages for workers, and no state or local subsidies. It would also aim to protect residents from bearing any additional utility costs and ensure some public oversight on these projects. So what we're saying is that we're afraid of a little oversight by the Republicans? Is that what we're saying here?
I think that's what the Republicans are saying. They're also saying, listen, we're all about the economy. We want to bring money and jobs into the communities. Again, let's make up our minds. What can we do? We heard from different companies saying, yes, we're all about transparency. But then we also read reports of, like I said, non-disclosure agreements and a lot of things. And people I think people understand the need for these data centers. I don't think it's a not in my backyard mentality. It's a you can put it in my backyard, but why should I be penalized and have to pay so much more in my utility bills? What is it going to mean for the long-term sustainability of this land when, you know, granted, agriculture right now is in kind of a tough spot, but someday agriculture might be booming again and that land can't be, the land and the adjacent land cannot be ruined for future things. So it doesn't make sense. Your question is valid. What are they, and it comes in a lot of the things we talk about, what are they worried about? What are they afraid of? What are you trying to stop?
Well, and I think, you know, these are multi-billion dollar tech companies that are bringing in these data centers. Mm-hmm. It should not be left fully to the responsibility of the communities to fund or pay extra for these particular data centers when it comes to the utility bill, the land usage, the list goes on and on, right? So these companies should have some sort of guardrails, I would think, and that's essentially what Democrats want. That's all they really want. They're not saying we don't like progress. They're not saying let's not bring them in. They're literally saying let's have some oversight on this. Now, they don't want these banned permanently. Let's be clear. That's not what Democrats are asking. They want to ensure that future development is responsible, transparent, and fair to these communities. Now, supporters of this particular bill, including Representative Francesca Hong, she has been very outspoken about data centers, also gubernatorial candidate. She says the proposal restores community power, it safeguards Wisconsin's natural resources, and holds corporations accountable for their environmental and their social impact. Is that where it gets tricky for Republicans? Holding the corporations and the people with lots of money accountable, is that where they start losing a little sight of what's actually important at that point?
It may be because, you know, corporations do not want to have to answer to anybody. They once they get their permits, once they get it's, hey, this is we're building this. You should be grateful that we've chosen your community. Look at the jobs we've provided. Look at the economic growth. You don't question us. It's the way the government is acting now. Don't question us.
Right.
Nobody has the right to question. I would love to hear from somebody who maybe is listening in one of these areas where a proposal has happened. When it came to you, how did you feel about it? And what did your community say? And what reasons did you give either for supporting or being against it? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. We're talking to you all over the state, so there's a good chance you live in one of these areas that has been affected. Maybe not in the township itself, but in the surrounding area. And let's be honest, between the energy bills, traffic, everything, mm-hmm. you would be affected. So where do you fall on this? Is a moratorium a good thing? Just to slow things down a little bit.
Well, and literally put some plans in place to how these mm-hmm. data centers can actually be housed in this state and not disrupt and affect people's livelihoods, their income, right. their communities. You know, and I think for Democrats, it literally is about having that sort of transparency and accountability. For Republicans, this feels to me more like it's a bottom line issue rather than what's best for their communities and their constituents. I think yeah. they're literally trying to figure out a way to pump more money in. And let's be honest, we all like growth. Nobody's saying no to growth. Nobody's saying that, right? Democrats aren't even saying that.
I don't believe so. It doesn't say anywhere in there to, you know, halt any sort of data center progress. You wear what you want.
Well, yeah, 6:29 right now. You're listening to Civic Media Mornings, a game of fact and fiction coming up, right?
Yes, Ron Johnson edition after this. I'm Brian Noonan, and this is the Civic Media Network.
Yes, thank you. I am Producer Frank. Welcome
Yay,
into Civic Media
Producer
Mornings
Frank.
With Brian and Jamie. Yeah, thank you. Stop, please. A round
Producer
of applause. It's
Frank.
Too much.
We're
I know.
So excited you're here.
I am too, because we're going to play another game of fact or fiction. This one, everyone, is going to revolve around Rojo, Ron Johnson's telephone town hall, which Ooh. I was not aware was a thing until Jamie
oh,
brought it up to me.
They're good entertainment, let me tell you.
All right.
It's my new favorite thing. So just a rundown for everybody who didn't hear the first time we played this, I'm going to play an audio clip of Ron Johnson from his telephone town hall the other day. And we are going to dive into whether what he said is a fact or if it's fiction. If you hear fact,
that's the fact, Jack.
And if it's fiction,
pure fiction.
Can
you
I
ready
just,
to get started?
Can I just
Go
say
ahead.
That
yes.
I'm excited that you all are getting as nerdy as I am by listening to Ron Johnson's town halls.
Sure.
I'm just saying. I'm just
There was
it
a
there.
Moment yesterday where I was like, man, where did I go in life to where I'm fully digesting an hour-long town hall?
I get it. I get it. You should always question your sanity in these moments.
Right?
Yes.
I'm doing my duty.
Yes.
So let's get started.
Okay.
Yes,
with
let's play.
Clip number one. I'm going to give you guys just a heads up. Usually I keep my audio clips tight, but some of these were too good that I had to just let them ride.
Okay.
So let's,
All right.
Let's start with
score.
The first one.
Prove that you're a citizen. To register to vote, most people don't want their legitimate vote canceled by a fraudulent vote. So something like 80% of the American population, regardless of political affiliation, agree and support voter ID.
Okay, so Ron Johnson says about 80% of Americans support voter ID. Is that fact or is it fiction?
That's fact. I believe it's
yeah.
fact.
All right, Jamie says fact. I know that there is a majority of people that support voter ID. Now, 80 seems high. So while I agree with it in principle, I am going to call fiction on the 80%.
That's the fact.
Yeah!
Oh, Jamie
it
on the board.
It is a fact. Now, here's the interesting part. So a Pew Research Center survey found that about 83% of Americans favor requiring
wow.
all voters to show a government-issued photo ID to vote, with 95% of Republicans and 71% of Democrats in agreement. Only 16% oppose it. Now, this gets interesting, though. The more barriers they put up and the more documents that are proposed to bring to the polls, such as like a birth certificate or a passport, which a lot of Americans don't have because that's another process that you have to go through and pay for, that number drastically declines. Okay. So yes, majority of Americans do agree in voter ID, but the more stuff you put onto it, that's where we disagree.
Because most Americans have a driver's license.
Right.
Correct.
And most,
not everybody.
And real ID is becoming, you know, if you're reapplying or getting a new license, then you have real ID. Now, it's interesting, and this is where it's going to get, I think the next few weeks in, well, not the 2 weeks because they're going to gavel out. But at the same time, I think it's going to be interesting to watch the SAVE Act, because underlying in all of this with voting is that that passed the House. Just this week. So that's going to be very fascinating to watch to see if the Senate actually passes it, has less restrictions, more restrictions, which will just make voting harder. But
Jamie, are you are you stalling because you have the lead now?
No.
Is that why we're going to go, on?
I just want people to understand.
Listen,
I was just
going
to say back to Ron Johnson.
Let's play the
game.
Back
to Ron Johnson.
Back to Rojo, please.
Yes. Yes.
Let's come on.
All right, let's move on to number two.
Democrats, by and large, want to make it easy to cheat. You know, things like automatic registration, mail-in balloting. The Baker-Carter Commission said that the greatest potential for fraud in elections is absentee ballots. And yet during COVID, Democrats took advantage of that, doubled the number of absentee ballots. They continued to push them. They continue to push things like automatic registration, mail-in balloting, just send a ballot to everybody. And, you know, that would be a highly insecure election.
Wow.
All right, this is a tough one, guys. Fact or fiction?
Fiction. I'm going to go out on a limb here.
It is a fact that this is 100% fiction. Fiction is the answer.
Pure fiction.
It is pure fiction.
That one is a draw.
Oh, my gosh.
So a recent analysis found that fraud in mail-in voting is exceptionally rare, on the order of about 0.00043% of mail ballots cast, or roughly 4 cases per 10 million votes.
Wow. Oh.
Wow, that's a whopper right
with
there.
With so much ease, too. The words just come out of the mouth, and oh, my goodness. Okay.
I think that's my favorite part of it, is he was he's very much convinced. And Jamie, we talked about this a little bit earlier, that Ron Johnson's always been on the 2020 was a fraudulent election.
Oh, he's very much into the conspiracy realm of politics now.
But his election was okay.
Well, yes, because he won. It was fine. See, it only works in certain cases, right? Yeah. All right. Are there any more good ones like that? Because that one was fun.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes. Okay, I'm ready.
We have 3 more.
Okay, all right.
That was too easy.
All right, let's go.
All right, let's move on to number 3.
Understand the enormous problem that ICE and CBP and the Trump administration is trying to clean up. I mean, millions of people flooding this country, including those millions. We got this tally from DHS last year. 650,000 illegal immigrants convicted of some kind of crime. On the loose, you know, not detained. 650,000. Included in that number, 15,000 people convicted of homicide, 20,000 people convicted of rape.
A lot of numbers thrown out.
Wow. Okay.
And he dropped the R word.
He did. I'm going to say that's fiction. I believe that's fiction.
I'm so competitive, I want to go the other way just in case, you know, to try to tie the game, but it all sounds fabricated. I'm fiction as well.
Pure fiction.
Okay, so this one gets really complicated.
I was just going to say, it felt like there could be some truth mixed in with the fiction on this one.
Well, yeah.
The jury's kind of out on
it.
So the statistics that Johnson cited of 15,000 murderers and 20,000 rapists are unverified and likely cumulative numbers gathered over several years. DHS data does not show that many violent offenders are roaming freely. So there's
freely like herds of buffalo.
Well, that's kind of what he said, and that's kind of where it's like hard to pinpoint something as a fact. There are so many numbers out there that differ for this statistic that there's really no comprehensible true fact. And remember from last time when we played Fact or Fiction, the percentage of ICE detainees that have been convicted of violent crimes are at no more than 7%, and 65% of detainees have no prior convictions of any crimes. And I know that's different from the general number that Ron Johnson threw out.
Well, of course, you work in generalities.
Yeah. Right.
Do
you ever get the feeling that we should be arming ourselves and walking outside every single day when you listen to Republicans talk from like in some sort of like military fatigues and gears just so that we're protected from this hellscape that we live in?
Jamie, I was at the RNC on the floor the day Law and Order was the theme. Just the music and the video they ran at the beginning of the session made me afraid to walk the two blocks back to work because I was convinced that I was going to be either dragged into some cartel beatdown or there was going to be roaming herds of murderers and rapists. And I'm too pretty to be walking down the street worrying about
that. I understand that. I totally understand that. But I sometimes I feel like I should just, you know, never leave my house again. Is this the type of world that they live in and they think that we live in? Is that how they envision things? Because that's
fear sells.
That's sad. That's sad. I almost feel sad for them. Anyway, back to Ron Johnson.
Frank, do we have a? Are there any facts? Any that are facts?
Yes, of course.
All right.
Well, let's find
there
out.
Might be. I can't tell you yes or no yet.
All right, let's see what we got.
We've got two more. Let's see.
All right, let's do it.
First of all, the Obamacare subsidies didn't expire. The enhanced subsidies did. Of the supposedly 24 million people on the Obamacare exchanges, more than 22 million will still just get the subsidies just at the original Obamacare subsidy rates, which are very generous, okay? They're for people at 400% of the poverty line or below. The only people where the subsidies actually expire are people above 400% of the poverty line.
If I ask you, okay, will you believe me? Is essentially what I felt like there. All right, I'm going to let you go first on this one, Brian. I got to mull this one over for a minute.
Yeah, I know they did. They did extend the subsidies. I don't, again, when there's numbers involved, that's where things get sketchy for me. I think because just based on the ratio of fiction, I'm going to have to go fiction again.
This one's tough. I'm going to say, I'll go out on a limb. I'll say this one's fact.
Oh, all right. Jamie looking to take a big lead.
That's the fact.
I'm very competitive. Sorry.
There were some numbers thrown out, and I'm not going to lie, I really had to Google to understand healthcare at the age of 31. So the ACA's original subsidies do remain for people earning between 100% and 400% of the federal poverty line, but those with higher incomes do now pay full price.
Yeah.
Okay. So the original Obamacare subsidies do stay in place. It's the extensions that expired. So he was telling the truth with that.
Well, Jamie, I cannot beat you because it's now 2-0 with one. Jamie has two. I have one, but we have one more question.
And we have a couple. Yeah, we have a couple minutes
couple
left.
More.
And
let's go.
We have one. We have one left.
I want
to make sure we get to this.
Okay.
One.
All right. Please. Let's do it.
I'm going to do something. The problem is Democrats are holding out for a clean extension of all of them, which would perpetuate probably about 6 million people that really aren't on the exchange. They just got sold policies without their knowledge. The unscrupulous broker got the commission. The insurance company got their premium, and it's probably about $30 billion of fraud per year, which we can't afford. So the solution is recognizing
what. Do you have a plan?
The solution is recognizing what a disaster Obamacare is, and the solution is consumerism.
Yikes.
So the proposed statement is that ACA broker fraud accounts for about $30 billion every year. Fact
I'm
or
gonna
fiction?
Go with fiction.
I'm going to say fiction.
Right,
fiction.
Pure fiction.
Yeah.
Pure fiction.
So again, this is another one of those statistics where there's like 20 different differing numbers out there. So yeah. There's no official number to prove this. There have been estimates and in a lot of far right-wing independent studies claiming that there are billions of dollars lost to ACA fraud. However, $30 billion cannot be contributed, especially just to brokers.
Wow.
Just to brokers. And people getting policies without their knowledge.
And no.
What am I paying for? I don't know. I have no idea where the money is going.
And it is also fiction. Ron Johnson, the Republicans, as of right now, do not have a plan. As the
2 weeks.
Caller was
no,
alluded.
Two
a concept,
weeks.
A concept
two
of a
weeks.
Plan.
2 weeks. It's
Frank,
coming.
Consumerism.
Done.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Buy as much as you can. Yes.
That
thank
was
you, Frank.
Fun.
You're welcome.
Look at how enlightened we are today
so
on those phone town halls. It's 6:48 right now. You're listening to Civic Media Mornings. I'm Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan. Hey, Wisconsin has some places that could be the best places to live in the country. We'll talk about it on the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
6:52 right now. Thank you so much for listening to Civic Media Mornings on the Civic Media Network. If you're in Appleton or Oshkosh listening on WISS or in Richland Center listening on WRCE, we are so glad that you decided to join us. And boy, oh boy, if you've been listening on live stream, thank you for
this
letting us
day.
Have our moment in time.
This is the day. I'm Brian Noonan. Hey, it's Friday the 13th. So, you know, watch out for black cats and broken mirrors and ladders.
Are you superstitious?
No.
Okay.
No, and
no,
I should be because the Irish culture is very superstitious. Mm-hmm. My dad was crazy superstitious. Like if he and I think of him every time I forget something and come back in the house because I'll just come back in and get it and leave.
Sure.
He would come back in the house. He'd have to sit down, count to 10, then he'd grab what he forgot and he would walk out.
Wow.
The only superstition I adhere to, and I don't know why, because I only know about it from the movie Drugstore Cowboy. I don't put a hat on the bed.
Gotcha.
I don't put hats
okay.
on the bed.
Okay.
That's the only thing.
I'm not superstitious about anything. I mean, walk under a ladder, black cats, whatever. It's fine. I have enough bad luck without having to have it delegated to just one day. And so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, every time I look in the mirror, I want to break it.
Right,
so I'm not,
exactly.
It's not superstition, it's vanity.
Exactly.
I have that. But maybe if I lived in a place, Jamie, that was a little more idyllic, I would not worry about anything.
This is true.
Perhaps
maybe.
If I was in a town that U.S. News and World Report voted as one of the best places to live in America. And wouldn't it be fun if I didn't have to travel very far to get to one of those places?
Very nice.
Yes.
Segue.
14 Wisconsin cities made the list of 250, and it is very, very excited, Jamie. This is on our network.
It is.
Congratulations. The best place to live, according to U.S. News.
It is, absolutely. Before we reveal it, because I feel like there has to be some sort of buildup, they do measure some factors like affordable housing, local economy, schools, healthcare, air quality, and the risk of extreme weather. So the top Wisconsin city to make this list is Eau Claire. Eau Claire, Wisconsin came in number 49 out of the 250 best cities.
Congrats.
But what's awesome about this list is out of these 250, there were 13 other Wisconsin cities to make the list, which is incredible.
Friday the 13th symmetry.
Right? Exactly. So Eau Claire, if you're listening on 93.5 The Tap this morning, congrats
Good
to you.
For you.
Appleton came in 53rd on the list, listening on WISS this morning. Waukesha also made the list. Oshkosh, shouting out WISS again. Wausau, shouting out our station WXCO. Green Bay, Sheboygan, Janesville, Kenosha, La Crosse, WLCX, Madison, WMDX, Fond du Lac, Racine, and Milwaukee, WAUK.
Wow.
Those are the cities.
Are you seeing a correlation between places that have access to this program and being voted one of the best places to live in the United States of America?
You're thinking.
Guy.
He is a smart guy. Right.
Listen, if we're not marketing that, we make you the best place to live.
We do. We make you smarter. We make you
we
wiser.
Make you
we
smarter.
Teach you things. And that correlates to being one of
and
the best cities.
Yes. So what makes Eau Claire? Listen, I've been to Eau Claire.
It's a great city.
It's a very
city.
Beautiful
Love
town.
Eau Claire.
It's a great city. You know, the UW campus up there, very nice. But what did U.S. News and World Report say made Eau Claire the place?
So part of the reason that they became 49 on this list is because their low cost of living. The median home value is around $261,000, while the national average is around $370,000. They have a very strong job market with unemployment right around 3.6%, which is below the national average. They have an average commute of just over 13 minutes, where on average it's right around 20 minutes, and the population of around 72,000 is made up of about 23% of people under the age of 20, which would be mostly because of the university. But some nice features if you're looking to, you know, settle down somewhere in the state of Wisconsin. Now, I will say, too, around Eau Claire, they have some beautiful state parks, like Wissota State Park. They've got Burnett Island State Park, which is a super awesome place. So much theater, a lot of really great food. There's some really cool shopping that you can do in Eau Claire. And then there's also some really great wineries around there, too. I would know this.
Now we're talking. Yeah, so Milwaukee was the lowest on the list.
As far as
Wisconsin, not they weren't 250th. They were just the lowest of Wisconsin. And Milwaukee, much bigger city.
Yep.
Their average home value there, the median home value, which I found
shocking,
interesting because it was lower than Eau Claire.
Yes.
At 197,000.
Yeah. Which is for a metro area, right? Too, you always expect prices to be a little bit higher. Maybe it's a quantity thing. Maybe there's more houses for sale. I'm not sure. They also have a young population. About 28% is under the age of 20, and just over 26% of residents are married. My 22-year-old lives in Milwaukee. He's been there for 3 years now. Absolutely. Unless he moves to Ohio to be with the girlfriend, he absolutely loves Milwaukee. I don't actually see anything pulling him except the girl for quite some time, because he really, really loves Milwaukee.
Milwaukee's great. There's a lot to do. That's how you can pull, unless you're a university town like Eau Claire.
Yeah.
And there's stuff to do there if you're outdoors and things like that. But if you're a young person who's looking for a metro area, you want a place that has not only culture and the access to sports teams and festivals and all of that. There's a lot going on there.
There is. Now, in case you're wondering, here are some of the cities that made the top 10. Troy, Michigan is on that list. Leander, Texas. You got League City, Texas making the top 10. Cary, North Carolina is on here. Fishers, Indiana, interestingly enough. Another Texas city, Pearland. You've also got Carmel, Indiana. And the number one city, according to U.S. News and World Report, based on all their parameters and factors, Johns Creek, Georgia. That is the number one city. I think I'll stick to Wisconsin. I'm good here.
Yeah, I'm going to pass on Georgia. No offense.
That's right. Georgia's beautiful, too. I like Wisconsin.
Sure it is. Yeah.
6:59 right now. You're listening to Civic Media Mornings. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan. And when we come back, we'll be talking about the Water Pollution Notification Act, because shocking, you may have nasty water. It's the Civic Media Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.